Darrell Webb has been a guest on this program many times. Barry Abernathy has not. They formed a new band, very exciting band, Appalachian Roadshow. Caught up with them in Raleigh, North Carolina, just a couple of months ago. We're going to talk to both of them about the new band, why they came together. Barry had kind of been out of the music scene for a while. We'll talk about that just a little bit. Don't forget, in the second hour, Barry Abernathy and Darrell Webb will discuss their brand new project, their brand new band, Appalachian Roadshow. Really happy to welcome to Unreal Bluegrass. Darrell Webb, you've been on Unreal Bluegrass a half a dozen times.
Yeah, I've been here a few times.
And now you're here with Barry Abernathy, and you have a new album. And I guess this is a new band name of Appalachian Roadshow.
Sure, it is.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's Barry speaking.
Yeah, Barry.
and I've not heard it yet because it's so new.
It's not 3 days old.
I'll listen to this on the way home, but I need you guys to tell me about... You guys have never been in a band before, have you?
Not together.
No, not together.
Been in a few bands.
But yeah, I know that, but I mean, you've all been. But so how does that occur? How do you get together to do Appalachian Roadshow? And you, the most recent thing I know you were in was Darrell Webb Band for a long time.
Yeah.
What were you doing, Barry, before the Appalachian Roadshow?
Well, I'd had Mount Hart, for 17 years.
Really? Yeah.
And I left the business. I've been out of the business for close to 4 years now.
That's what I thought.
Three and a half years.
I asked you because I know Mount Hart, but I just think...
Yeah.
I knew you and saw you with Mount Hart. And
yeah.
I didn't know, sometimes you come back.
Yeah, I drew a big, deep 3-year breath and took a big, deep breath, and now I'm back in. Okay. I'm exhaling now.
I'm glad you are.
I talked him into it. Yeah. Head twisted on.
And I'm glad that you're with Darrell because I think the world of your music and I think
Thank
the world
you.
Of Darrell.
I
don't know of anybody that. And I've seen Mountain Heart.
Oh, yeah.
But I've not met anybody that puts on a stage show that Darrell does.
No, he's great. He's great.
You've always been just dynamite on stage.
Yeah, he's
awesome. You had the goods to back it up and play whatever you want to play. You play whatever the band needs you to play.
Yeah. That's what he does here. He's got such a knack for fitting
don't
in.
Don't let him play banjo.
No, he's a great banjo player.
No, you need to play banjo.
He's great.
Don't try to be your banjo
He's
player.
Great banjo player.
He is, I know.
He's already taught me a lot. I already know a lot more banjo than I did just by being around Darrell.
Or Stratocaster or whatever you want him to do. Tell me about this album. It's on Billy Blue Records, which is Jerry Sally's brand new label.
Yeah. Ed Leonard with Daywind, he hooked up with Jerry, and Jerry's doing A&R and kind of heading this label up for Ed and those guys. And then it's called Billy Blue Records, and it's the greatest people in the world. They're great people, good Christian men, and a very well-run organization. They got a team. I went in one day. I didn't realize what I was going into. I was going to meet Jerry for something, and he said, just come over. I'm over at Ed's. For a few minutes, just come over and meet me at Daywind. And I just walked into the office, and there was a staff of about 20, 21, 22 people, something like that, business people, and they were on top of it. Man, everybody had a job to do, and they were all discussing. It was on Monday morning. They were discussing what they were going to be doing that week and how everybody was attacking the things they were doing for Daywind. And it's the same team that does Billy Blue, so he's got a great organization
Jerry
there.
When these labels, he has two different labels within the same umbrella.
Yeah.
When they came out, he came on the show and talked about his approach. He said he was going to have some news at IBMA, and I'm thinking some of that could have been Appalachian.
I'm not sure what the rest of the news is. I know he told me there were some big things coming up.
That's a big thing. Appalachian Roadshow.
Well, I think so. I think so.
When you went to that meeting, did you know that Appalachian Roadshow was going to be becoming a band? Or what?
Oh yeah, yeah. We had already cut the record when I went in there and met with them. We actually were going in to cut the record, and I hadn't heard of them starting this label. And I was out of all things. I was driving for Ben Isaacs. I was driving, and Ben and I were sitting up about midnight one night, And he said, this music's so good. He and I was playing my demos and stuff. And he said, you just need to get this on a label. And I said, well, I don't have to have a label. And I said, we talked to people, but I said, I don't want to just go somewhere for the sake of going there, and then sinking in $7 or $8 a CD to pay them for something we can cut without them. And he said, you need a great label. He said, hold on just a minute. And he picks up the phone at midnight and calls Ed Leonard. And he said, Ed, I've got somebody you need to meet, and you need to hear what he's got going on. He said, you need to hear it now. He said, they're going in the studio next week. And Ed said, well, that's awful soon. He said, tell him to come by. Well, I went by and took him some stuff. We talked for about an hour. He listened to the stuff, and when I left, we basically had a record deal. And Ed and those guys jumped on board. We had everything planned out, we decided we'd just go to their studio and cut the tracks. Great studio. They had everything we needed. sounds are great. Everything was cut. All the tracks were cut live. Mm-hmm. Any overdubs that were done on the fly while we were in. Everybody was in the room, you know. And anyway, we come out of that. I went and done some overdubs on my banjo because I sang on the live track. I went and overdubbed some banjo at Darryl's house. And then Jimmy flew in some vocals at his house, and we had a record. I mean, it was it takes some time. But my point in all this is those guys jumped on board with us without having any. They weren't leading. They let us go and do what we did. They trusted us, and basically.
First of all, you guys are pros.
Well,
I don't think either one of you waste a lot of time when it comes to recording a song. I mean, I've known of you for a long time. Both of you perform and record at a high level.
Well, thank you.
And when you get with guys like this who are professionals also, if you got what you want to do, hopefully it all fits together.
We had great people in the studio. We had Brian Sutton come in and help us on a few things, and Stuart Duncan come over and help on a few things. See, Jimmy, when we first started, Jimmy had another job, thankfully.
Yeah.
And so when we booked the session, Jimmy was going to try to do as much as he could, but he was going to have to fly his part in because he was working. So we actually, when we went into the session, we had Stuart booked, and I said, we'll just use Stuart and we'll fly some of Jimmy's in. Well, then Jimmy decided he was leaving where he's going and doing this full time. So he actually came in the studio. So him and Stuart were both in the studio at the same time. So Jimmy did part of it and Stuart did part of it.
You hear on the album cover. And on the back, I'll say, Appalachian Roadshow is the cover. But on the back, you guys look pretty relaxed.
We are relaxed.
Tell me a little bit about the music. And is there, because I've not heard it yet, but I look on here and you've got, what's the intro? Is it a song or is it just a discussion?
It's a, have you heard the guy that does the Dodge truck commercials, Sam Elliott voice? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Well, we thought it was Sam Elliott. We went and tried to find Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
Did you?
The intros. And so it wasn't. It's not Sam Elliott on the Dodge commercials. It's this. I can't remember the guy's name now, but he sounds just like Sam Elliott. And so we found him. Jerry actually found him. I told him, I said, I want Sam Elliott to do this. And he said, I don't think Sam does that. And I said, he does the Dodge commercials, the Beef commercials.
Yeah,
and
he
went looking it up, and it wasn't Sam. It was this guy.
I thought it was.
No, it's this guy right here. And so this guy. He says, "Yeah, I'll do it for you." So I had written a I don't know what you call it, a couple paragraphs of what I felt like was, I won't say it's a mission statement, but it's kind of what I. This is not an old time copy of an old time string band. This is the way we play music, but it's the culture and the things that are passed down from people that I grew up around, people Daryl grew up around, the not just songs and not just musical stylings, but. What would be the right word for it, Daryl?
Collaboration, I guess.
Well, just the way that the music has been passed down from generation to generation from mm-hmm. people that we heard it from. And I kind of wrote something about that, and this guy read back what I wrote, and it sounds awesome. We had a little Paul Hammer banjo going behind it.
Oh, did you?
And the same little thing that we kick off the album with, which is a song, Little Black Train, which was Doc Boggs, I think. Doc Boggs did Little Black Train.
You're going way back, man, with Doc Boggs.
Yeah.
And, a lot of good stuff there to mine.
So we cut the old version of Little Black Train. I actually cut Little Black Train. I had a group called Silver Creek in about 1990, a little gospel group, and we cut a couple records. We didn't cut it with them. We were getting ready to cut it, and I got a job a third time out. So I took that third time out with me, and we cut Little Black Train as a bluegrass song on a third time out record. And actually, it was a big song for them. It actually, I think it went up in the charts, and they played it. They still play it now.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to do the song the way it was originally written, the old spooky, haunting sound.
He was a spooky guy.
Well, this
is graveyard spooky.
This is graveyard spooky. This don't skip the version we did with Third Time Out. It skipped all about death. It skipped all the death part. This song says. Says that poor young man in darkness cared not for the gospel light till suddenly he heard the whistle blow, a little black train inside. And all these three verses together, and he says, "Oh Lord, would you not spare me? I see my wicked plight. Have mercy, Lord, upon me. Please come and set me right." And then the last one says, "But death had fixed his shackles upon his chains so tight before he got his business fixed, a little black train inside." And that's the old version of
it. It is.
So it's a really cool song.
Is the Milwaukee Blues song the song that I think it is?
Charlie Poole.
1922,
okay. I think it was.
You guys are going way back on some of this.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
And I'm not saying you're trying to recreate, but you're pulling from a lot of.
Well, what do you hear? What do you hear? It feels. We didn't put. There is literally no reverb on the vocals or the fiddle or anything on the. We're getting deeper into how we cut the project now, but when we went and mixed, Ben Isaacs and Ben mixed this thing for me. And he ended up mixing, and I told him, I said, man, I want that dry. I want it to sound like 1920s. I want it good tone. And I want, yeah. I want it record good recording quality, but I want it dry, and I want it to feel like Charlie Poole's cut. And it did. I mean, it really
yeah,
does.
It really does.
Of course, you know, we don't sound like Charlie Poole singing, but...
You're trying to.
But once again, this is not a copy of an old string band. This is the way it was passed down to us.
Right.
This is how it was passed down to us. And all the other kinds of music come into play when you pass this stuff down, and people, we pick up from other things we've heard, and there's been a lot of music cut since then. So we've got a little bit of all that in us. But definitely this stuff is this stuff that we love, and it's great. Well, you hear Jimmy play fiddle on. It's awesome.
I can't wait to hear this stuff. You guys are pretty excited about this new thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, really excited about it. The album turned out great. And, you know, it's like Barry said, it's a bunch of old songs, but it's like you said, passed down from generation. It's kind of our take on everything, which we did, you know, a few arranging things on some of the tunes, but as far as changing the way the tunes are, they're not changed a lot.
Not a lot. The arrangements are fresh, but they're, I'm looking at songs, a lot of them are older songs, some of them are not. Dance, Dance, Dance is our single. It was a Steve Miller Band song, which is older, but it's not Appalachian.
No.
But you think about what it says and the way we cut it, and you'll like it. It's a single, so you'll have it. You've actually probably got it now. But it's we bumped it up, and it's a fiddle tune, basically. It's a fiddle tune. Kind of somewhere in the vein of a Sawin' on the Strings, something like that. But we actually play
Mississippi Sawyer,
and
you mix those in.
Uncle Ben's on it. We mixed all that stuff in there, and Cotton Eye Joe. We can play Cotton Eye Joe.
Yeah.
So it's basically talking about going square dancing, you know, with your girl back in the old days. Yeah. Is what he was talking about,
right.
You know. So come on, darling, put a pretty dress on. We're gonna go out tonight. You know, he's worked all week. The guy says he said he's a hardworking man. He's a son of a gun. He worked all week in the noonday sun, and put a pretty dress on. We're going out.
I said you guys are having fun with this.
Oh, God. We are.
Are you getting out? I mean, the album is just, like you said, a couple of days. Appalachian Roadshow.
It hasn't even been released yet. We just got them back, so it's not released until October 26th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you getting out? Are you doing shows? Are you going behind it?
We actually started. We set IBMA as a time to get started. We have played one show, and then we did a showcase last night. But we're not planning on really working full-time as a band the first of the year.
Okay, give
some time to build it up. We've probably got 15 to 20 dates booked for next year, somewhere in that range, and that's without announcing it, really. So now we're going to start booking. As of today, we're starting booking. We're going to be calling people now, but we couldn't really go calling people when we didn't have something to give them.
You have to give them.
Yeah.
So if they go to a website, is it just find Appalachian Roadshow?
AppalachianRoadshow.com.
Yeah. And Facebook, and all our email addresses, phone numbers on there. I'm actually booking the band right now, so...
Good. I'm excited, man.
I can't
wait to hear all this stuff because I know you, and I just thought when I heard about this, I thought what a perfect combination for you guys to do this.
It's fun, and Daryl and I, our voices. I don't have a great voice. Daryl does, but what voice I do have, it they blend a good together.
Daryl shaking his head. You do have a good voice, man.
The blend is awesome. I was listening back to. Last night's the second time we've done the song outside of cutting the record. But the I'm Just a Pilgrim is a song I grew up around. It's a great old fact. And this is not the old, it's not what you think. It's a quartet song from probably the 40s, 30s or 40s. I've heard it around home, and a group called the Chestnut Grove Quartet did a acapella version of it. We just kind of play a guitar on it and sang a trio. It's real straight ahead, shape note quartet singing. And man, the blend was just incredible what I heard last night. I couldn't believe how good the blend
really
was
good.
On it. That's the stuff I really love. I love that.
Both of you, and I'm talking to Barry Abernathy and Darryl Webb, both of you have so much experience in bands. And so when you start a band with the both of you, you bring a lot to the table. And all those things that you've done and things you may not want to do anymore, but this is, I'm not saying there's anything you did wrong. I'm just saying that you make choices.
Yeah.
You get to this point, now you kind of have focused on a different sound,
yep.
and
yep.
I think this is going to be fantastic. I can't wait to hear. This will give me something to listen to on my drive home.
Yeah, I think you'll like it. And Jimmy and I were talking coming up to meet Jerry and Ed a little while ago. They were bringing some more CDs, and we were talking. And I said, you know, it's funny. I said, people are talking about this in a different way. I said, I'm playing just like the same thing I've always played.
Yeah.
And he said, well, me too. And I said, but, you know, I guess we added a piano and a R&B singer, who, by the way, is a great singer, and Josh Shittle with Mount Heart. Yeah. And all of a sudden, everybody thought everything changed. I'm playing the same way I always did.
Yeah,
I don't
right.
know any other way to play.
Yeah.
So, listen, man, I can't wait to get into this and start getting into play. I really can't. It's just I'm glad you're happy, and I'm glad you're happy, brother.
I am, yeah.
And I'm glad you come really? Back out of wherever you're.
Out of retirement.
You're out of retirement. Back out of retirement.
I'll I'm not you, old enough to retire.
No,
yet,
you're not. It sounds good when you do it, but then you think, wait a minute, I'm not ready yet. Well, gosh, man, thanks for stopping by. I'll let you get started
with
what
welcome.
You're doing.
Thanks,
and,
Steve.
I'll see you down the road somewhere.
Play a bunch of it.
I will.
Yeah.
All right, bud. Thanks a lot.